As has already been mentioned, I just want to congratulate you for making it out on a cold morning like this. For me, this is my first time that I've been up here since retirement and stood up here in late August. And here we are, can you believe it? Late January. And what's different? The pay is a lot less now. All right? But I do want to compliment the leadership and those who have and are and will continue to step out and serve and lead during for the past few months and in the upcoming months, whether it's in preaching or however you're serving, just to see Tim Nicholson leading the Bible study, so important, leading in the book of Galatians and other ways that many of you have stepped into the gap. And I want to thank you for being faithful to the King, and then to the body of Christ, to this church during these transitional times. Well, the most frequent question I get, well, how's retirement going? And I was telling someone here in the congregation about my retirement activities and our plan to go to Chicago next week and then to Northern Ohio, where my mom is, in February. And he said, you really haven't figured retirement out at all. You're supposed to go someplace warm, okay? Not taking trips up north. And those are all good points. And I will say, yes, figuring out retirement is a bit of a chore. It's a process. It's a process. And in fact, as I'm thinking about the message this morning, it comes out again out of my own heart and my own journey. And we'll think of it this way. What does retirement, or what does the second half of life look like? And it looks like I've got the right audience. Okay, as I look around, many of us could ask the question similarly. And I think it has something to do with this, and I'll put up a picture here of my granddaughter. And Sloan asked me to go help her make a snowman. And I said, a snowman? And she said, well, a snow woman. And then she said, no, how about a snow Sloan? And I thought, well, that really sounds great, a snow Sloan. Let's do that. And so that had a nice ring to it. And then Boone came out a little bit later, and I helped him build a snowman. Well, we were in process here. He didn't quite get that done before I took the picture. And then and we tried to approximate the size of the snowman to how tall the child was. And so then about that time, Whit, the youngest, showed up, and I had to carry him from the back patio because the snow was too deep. And there he is. And by this point, I'm tired of sloshing around, but Whit says, what about my snowman? And clearly a one-to-one grandchild snowman ratio was required. And so we worked that out. And I got to thinking about how all this applied, and Ronald Rollhauser, in a fine book called Sacred Fire, A Vision for a Deeper Human and Christian Maturity, outlines some questions about some phases in life. And he suggests that the first phase of life that we primarily ask is, how can I get my life together? Another way of saying it is, what about my snowman? But the second phase of life, which is the one we'll primarily focus on this morning, is this: how do I give my life to others? And that is rephrased, how can I help others build their snowman? And so the two overlap. We never stop asking the first question. We're still trying to figure it out, how to make life work, how to build our snowman well in from our 30s, 40s, 50s, 70s, 80s, all the way through. But at some point, I hope and pray that we begin to move to that second phase and we start asking, how do I build? How do I help others build their snowman? put up the slide of Martin Luther King Jr. as we think about this particular weekend and his celebration of his birthday and the question that he likewise asked that and suggested that life's most urgent question is, what are you doing for others? That second phase of life question can be described in another way, I would say, as excelling in the path of wisdom. And you'll notice the text that I've chosen this morning are about wisdom. Not in the Yoda sense, necessarily, or the Dumbledore sense, or even the ancient King Solomon style. But wisdom is knowing your sacred role in God's plan and honoring it. Again, back to our passage, Psalm 90 and verse 12 says, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." So teach us to number our days. That is measure. Whether you're young or old, take inventory, assess, because your days matter and each one is a precious gift. And numbering is a first step in becoming wise. Of course, we don't know how many days that might be. I was thinking about it in the past couple of weeks and speaking to somebody. My great-grandfather lived to be 80. My grandfather lived to be 81. My father lived to be 82. What does that say if I number my days? You know, but who's to say I'll get to 66? And so we count and we inventory and we see each one as precious. And then I think about the death of Jimmy Carter this past week. And he lived to be 100 years old. And we have his picture. A little slide, there it is. And I think about him and all the things that he was able to accomplish in his life. And it was stunning. And he saw every day as God-given. A lot of folks might assess his presidency and say, hey, wasn't the best president we ever had. I think he might have proven the point that it's hard to be a Christian and be a president. But I think about all the things that were said at his funeral and the phrase, love and respect for the office and for the government and for the people and for life. And I got to thinking about how he used his days and the many of the things that were accomplished after he retired. In fact, the Carter Center and his work with Habitat for Humanity and the Task Force for Child Survival and Development, and he received the Nobel Peace Prize in 2002, 20 years after his presidency and 22 years ago, and how he continued to serve. He found his sacred calling and he worked and honoring it. But the second part of that phrase, Psalm 90 and verse 12, and this is from the New American Standard Bible, says, so teach us to number our days. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this or noticed this from this translation, might not be one you've read very much, that we may present to you, present back to God, a heart of wisdom. What is the goal? It's reflecting God's characters and his qualities back to him. I believe we have a church. Melanie, you started it all this morning so beautiful with the call to worship and with the intentionality of what we're doing here. Susan mentioning the authenticity of the worship. I hope that resounds throughout this congregation in congregants, members, who are reflecting back to the Lord a heart of wisdom. That we're these image bearers of the divine. And while we reflect this back to God, what is the point of having learned the ways of God and then sitting on it? No, if we're talking about standing firm, we need to apply the wisdom. We need to be offering the wisdom. So teach us to number our days, one translation says, so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. I like that. Jesus said, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And then how does Jesus respond? Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds. It's not just something up here. It is expressed and it is lived out. And I like this text because Jesus makes a clear connection to the personified Lady Wisdom in Proverbs 8. And many scholars have concluded that Proverbs 8, in fact, is about Jesus. Christ under the name of Wisdom. It's reinforced again. In other words, you could read this text, yet wisdom, and you could capitalize the wisdom. The wisdom is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Likewise, Paul in 1 Corinthians 1 and 24 in the passage that Keaton read, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, Christ, the wisdom of God. Said another way, to have a heart of wisdom is to have a life filled and shaped by Jesus Christ. He's the essence of wisdom. So you stand firm, not by standing, but by leaning forward and by walking, by being a pursuer of the path of wisdom and consistently asking the question, how may I invest my life in others? How do I help them build their snowman? Now, I've got a friend, and we were interns together at this church back in the early 80s. And we moved to Connecticut to plant a church in 1983, a long time ago. And my friend was and is, always has been fantastic with young people. And he grew up going to camp and was just an expert at communicating with campers. And I can recall one of our outreaches in Connecticut where we were doing a youth program in the park. And he was just such a terrific leader. And I remember his three rules to this day. And I've repeated them many times as he pulled all the campers together. And he says, we have three rules. Play hard. Play fair. Nobody hurt. And we just reinforced those. And it worked then and it works now. And then a couple of years later, another intern came along and he started dating her. And she was a sweet spirit. And she was a teacher by profession and a servant to others. And they got married. And they had three kids together. And it's been more than 20 years now since she was diagnosed with Huntington's disease. And I don't know if you know much about Huntington's, but to put it politely, it is horrific. And gradually, slowly, it takes your life. And then a few years into the disease, one of his boys, one of their children, went into depression in early high school, and he committed suicide in his room. And after his death, it was determined that he was a carrier of Huntington disease also. And all of these challenges and struggles and traumas required my friend to make some choices about his life and his faith and ask himself some questions. At what point do I stop believing? At what point do I quit? At what point do I say that's enough and I'm done with standing firm? Or can I go deeper? Have I counted my days? Am I developing a heart of wisdom? And day by day, month by month, year after year, my friend was and is faithful to his very, very sick wife. And though his life has been shaped in directions that he would never have chosen, at a cost that few would pay, and at a risk of acquiring additional debt that comes with such a burden, including resentment and bitterness and pessimism and even despair, I want you to read and hear this text that he sent last week to me and to a few others. My beloved yoke fellows, we've made it to another year and still have the Lord above, who is no older than he ever was. The Lord counts his days. I have some personal news to share with you. Just before Christmas, I was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. And based on the symptoms I've been tracking for months, it did not come as a surprise. It does, however, take some time to sink in. And my focus has been on my bride for years now. And I did not anticipate having a neurodegenerative disease myself. But here it is. It is real. And it is my assignment. Whatever visions I had for my life after my bride passes, this certainly rearranges the scenery. I am reminded to be thankful for every moment as it is experienced, because that is the only time that can be touched and savored. I want to keep working as long as I can. I've got back pain every day, and my left hand is slow and weaker. But I can still drive. I can still talk, and I can still listen. He's a therapist. And I can think something that will leave me at some point in the future. I'll keep you up to date as things change, as they will. And I want you to know how dear you are to me. The roads we've traveled are eternal. My friend is a child of wisdom. Different from Martin Luther King Jr., different from Jimmy Carter, and yet the same. A journey of life struggle and the temptation to give in, to complain, to whine, to withdraw, to pick and choose comfort and convenience over service. But the wise God chose a deeper story of faith and wisdom. And I was struck by my friend's use of the word assignment. His assignment is not one he would have chosen. It is one assigned to him. When you trust in a gracious Creator God, you see that what you've been given is your assignment, not something to resist. You see, because we are not the story. We are simply an actor in God's story. The question is not, do I believe in God? That's not the question. But can God believe in me? To do my part. It is God's world, and you and I have a sacred assignment in it. And then my friend shared this quote, and I want you to help me with it. I slept and dreamt that life was joy. I awoke and saw that life was. Anybody want to help me out? You want to venture a guess? I slept and dreamt that life was joy. I awoke and saw that life was a joke. I don't know. Many things we could fit in there. Let me tell you how the quote goes. Go ahead and put up the next slide. I slept and dreamt that life was joy. I awoke and saw that life was service. I acted, and behold, service was joy. The secret to standing firm to the second phase of the journey, the secret to biblical wisdom, is service that leads to joy. Now, you and I might need to overhaul our view of aging or retirement, or we tend to either covet my time, myself, and be preoccupied with building our own snowman, or we conclude that it's too cold and the snow is too deep and I have enough of my own aches and pains and I'll leave snowman making to someone else. And the biblical view of aging, I want to tell you, is so much richer. That our age, and the age that I haven't even arrived at, some of you have, is an age of blessing. It's a blessing to yourself. It is a blessing to your family. It is the blessing to the world. The best years of your contribution to the King of Kings is now. And even a better day will be tomorrow. The best years of love for others now, and even better days tomorrow. The best years of doing what matters on a shaky planet, both now and tomorrow. The better years of offering wisdom, of listening deeply, of reaching into another's soul, of getting past your own snowman-itis to help others build their snow sloans is now. And like my friend, deep wisdom is recognizing that our place is the place that God assigns us. And in fact, the more care and the more self-sacrifice and the more service our calling requires, the more we are aligned with our Maker. I'll leave you with these prayer requests. My prayer: Lord, help me to help others build their snowman. Lord, show me how I can give my life away to others. Lord, help me accept my assignment and in turn find joy. Lord, teach me to number my days so that I may present to you a heart of wisdom.